Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
David Tai, I have a fascination with something you were involved in. I speak of Grenfell and the Grenfell Tower fire, because I sat up all night listening to it on the radio, and I think you might even have been the boss of the radio station I was listening to it on, LBC, and the great Steve Allen, who broke into his program to cover it live that night. David, good morning.
Good morning, PJ. Good morning. How are you?
Hi. You were a Red Cross, as well as being a media boss and involved in Global at the time, you were a Red Cross volunteer. What happened?
Yeah, that's right. So, first of all, good morning to you, and hi to everyone listening in to 96 FM this morning. So, I was involved in a unit called the Fire and Emergency Support Service over in the UK. And basically, that's a service that the Red Cross provides. It works out of fire stations. And if you can imagine any traumatic event involving a fire brigade, the fire brigade's main duty is to kind of get in there, put out fire, and secure the place. Obviously, most tragic events have a human element. And whilst the fire brigade are very good at dealing with that, it's not their main priority. So the Red Cross set up this unit called Fire and Emergency Support Service. So we used to be tasked by the fire brigade to roll with them to major traumatic events, and we would provide emotional and human support, if you like, in situations like Grenfell. And
you've been a Red Cross volunteer for most of your career, haven't you?
Yeah, I've I suppose my mother's from West Clare, and so therefore there's a great sense of community down there in Kilkee where she's from, and so I've always felt, you know, in all my years coming backwards and forwards, I've always felt that sense of community, and communities look after each other. So the volunteering, I think, really, really kind of comes from that. It's about trying to make a contribution, if you like, back.
And did you grow up near Grenfell?
So like many London Irish families, I was born in London. So I was born actually on Portobello Road, Ladbroke Grove, which wasn't the expensive place that you might see today. Back in 1969, it wasn't quite like that, which was probably about three or four streets down from where that tower is.
I remember listening to it on the night as a developing story. It was just such an enormous tragedy. Did you at one point have to go and set up a place for people to go, like an emergency contact center, relief center? Describe that to me.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, I went on the day down to Grenfell Tower. What greeted me was something that I think I'll never quite forget. It was a very hot day. You could smell the smoke within probably a mile or two of the location. And you can imagine it was chaotic. The whole thing was chaotic. So there was a need to set up a rest center, a place where people could come, whether they'd been affected, whether there was their families that were looking for people that had been affected, whether it was firefighters that had been affected. It was basically a place of refuge, which was just around the corner. Obviously a safe distance away, but just around the corner. So, yeah, we were involved with setting that up and making that work on the day, which was which was full of challenges and you know, very, very dramatic and sort of traumatic experience, really.
You came across three brothers, I think, who had they lost a loved one, or were they concerned about a loved one, and you had to deal with watching them discover that that person had been lost.
Yeah, so as I remember it, you know, I at one point I was at the front door of this. It was like a sports hall, really, and I was at the front door. And obviously, you kind of have to put certain checks and protocols in place. And people were turning up with food and clothes and you know, stuff to help. So there was lots and lots of people with very good kind of hearts, if you like. But three brothers, I assume they were brothers, certainly members of the same family, turned up at the door, and they were very distraught. They'd been talking to someone in the tower on the phone whilst the event was happening, and that person, I think, was struggling to get out, because again, without going back too much detail, there was advice given to stay put, I think, at one point. They were talking to their family member whilst they were all in a different location. They made their way across. They lost contact with that family member whilst they were talking to them, and they weren't getting any answers. You know, they were going, it was impossible to get answers at that point in the event. But they were being pushed around from pillar to post, really. And I think at that point, they just wanted someone to listen to them.
How did you meet them? Did they come across you, or did you come across them?
No, they literally were at the front door wanting to know if anyone had heard news of their relative. And they said they'd rung every hospital in London. They couldn't get any, anywhere. They couldn't get any information about their relative, you know?
Well, what did you do for them?
Well, there's nothing I could have done to change their circumstance, but what they needed, what I felt they needed at that time, was they just needed someone to listen to what they had to say. And maybe, you know, and again, without trying to draw any comparisons, sometimes actually being able to voice and listen is a good thing. And, you know, you probably get it on your show where people say things and people are listening. And it didn't change the ultimate situation for them, but I sat with them for half an hour. I took them to a private room, sat with them. They told me all about their relative. They, you know, described in great detail what kind of person that individual was. They cried. Ultimately, I had the same information, which was I didn't know, but they kind of, at the end of that 30-minute conversation, you know, they all hugged me and each other, and I think it didn't change the outcome, I don't think, but I think they felt that someone had listened, and actually that was beneficial and helped at that particular moment. I'd like to think that was the case anyway. It certainly felt that way.
Like that moment when you say to someone, I hear you. You heard them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. You... And I don't think we do it often. I think we think we do it, but I'm not sure we do it really, you know.
You don't need to. You said that you don't need to respond in a situation like that. Just be there and let them talk it out. That's what they needed.
100%. And they did. They did. And I often think, you know, if we're many years on from that now, but I often think of that particular moment. I often wonder what happened, and you know, I hope that those individuals found some peace at the end of it all, you know.
Yeah, you were in Christlock as well, were you, David?
No, I wasn't there, but our organisation, Critical, one of our volunteer doctors was there. Yeah.
Now, Critical, you bring me around there. You are back now in Ireland as the new chief executive of Critical. Having spent all of your years as chief execs in various media outfits, you've come back now to be the chief exec of Critical. What is Critical? We probably know more about it than you need to tell us, but tell us what it is.
Yeah, so Critical, I think, is a really interesting operation. It's a charity. And it's basically works with three different groups of individuals, and it all revolves around volunteering. So the first group of individuals are doctors.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Emergency doctors. And we provide response vehicles for emergency doctors in their communities to respond to things like road traffic accidents, to strokes, heart attacks, and the like. So there's a thing that's talked about in medical circles about that kind of magic hour in terms of pre-hospital responses. So yeah, the sooner someone gets seen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out, but the sooner someone gets seen, the better chance of a more positive outcome for an individual. So we're really into trying to get quicker responses and quicker outcomes. Now, we do this very much in partnership with the National Ambulance Service, so we can't move and we're not doing anything unless the National Ambulance Service are with us. So the first cohort is a group of off-duty doctors who do a fantastic job day in, day out. The second group are off-duty paramedics and emergency medical technicians who all work for the National Ambulance Service. Mm. And currently we've got 70 of those working as volunteers with us. So they're all members of the National Ambulance Service who volunteer to respond to nearby urgent emergencies when they're off duty. And we've got 13 of those around Cork City and County. So that's the second group. And we provide all the essential kit for those people to respond from their homes and their houses. Wow. And in their communities. And the final part, PJ, is we also look after community first responder groups. Now, these are people like you and I who have no background in this area, but are trained between us and the National Ambulance Service, and they set up community first responder schemes within their community. So currently in the Cork area, we've got a fantastic group in Blackwater, and we've also got one coming online in Macroom. So they are a really great bunch of volunteers wanting to make a positive impact in their communities, and they will come to calls like chest pains, choking, cardiac arrest and strokes. And they're all coming online over the next May, June, July time. So
fantastic.
We provide kind of governance for these groups. A lot of these groups, and there are a lot of them, by the way, there are plenty non-critical aligned community first responders doing great jobs, but we try and help with fundraising, trying to provide a kind of a framework, if you like, for fundraising and governance. And of course, we do all of this with the National Ambulance Service. Mm. So all these individuals are only tasked by the National Ambulance Service to attend the incidents that they attend. So
you do a lot of heavy lifting, shall we say, for groups like that, that they wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity or maybe the background to do for themselves.
Yeah, that's correct. So you can imagine, and I was recently at my local GAA club where I live, and they were providing training in how to use an AED and how to do, first aid, if you like. But then you do that and then you walk away and you go, well, what happens now? How, if something happened in a car park, unless I'm there, I'm not going to be able to help. And what these community first responder groups do is they bring it all together, and then they align themselves with the National Ambulance Service through the likes of us here at Critical, and then they are enabled in their communities to be able to turn all of that training into a response, which hopefully will save a life.
There's a man that has become a friend of this show over the last number of years, and a bit of a hero locally, and the number of people who've had accidents on the road at night who come to me and say that when they saw the face of Jason Vandeveld, they knew they were safe. When they heard that wonderful, soft South African voice, they knew they were safe. There's people like him everywhere.
Yep, there are people like him everywhere, and there are people that just want to make a difference in their communities. And when I heard about the critical idea and what it does and how it does it, I just thought to myself, this just makes perfect sense. It's throughout communities in Ireland, and we all know there are plenty of rural communities in Ireland that that when something happens, you need someone there pretty quickly. And we're calling for volunteers if people are interested. We're calling on fundraisers. We've got huge plans here over the next 3 to 5 years in our organisation to expand what we do throughout Ireland. And as I said, there's a couple of those community first responder schemes coming online in Macroom and Blackwater in the coming months. And we want to do more of that. So we're here to help. We are going to the Camino, if I can get a fundraising plug in at some point.
Fire away.
So I'm not particularly a walker or a cyclist. I can walk to my local pub and restaurant, but we are walking the Camino. We're doing that on the 29th of September to the 6th of October. That's in Spain. There's a 120-kilometer walk or a 300-kilometer cycle. I'm sure that's your one, PJ. I know some people have told you can get on your bike. Well, now you literally can get on your bike and help raise some money for critical. So, look, I won't go into all the details here, but it really is an interesting. People are going on this every year. It's a walk in the Camino area of northern Spain, and all the information is on our website, criticalcharity.ie. So, if you'd like to take part, we'd love to see you.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we clearly know more about the work of Critical than we thought, because your volunteers and your groups have been assisting around our county and around our province for a long time. Tell me lastly about the Donant Award. It is the highest honour the Red Cross can bestow. And you got it.
That is correct. Yeah, everyone, in fact, who attended Grenfell from the Red Cross on that day, and there were a few of us, we were all awarded with this award. As I understand it, is the highest award that the Red Cross awards. But it's quite a hard pill to swallow, that one. I would have gone anyway. I think it's in your blood. If you have a volunteer sort of element in your makeup, you will go, and you will just go and try and do your best to help wherever you can. And that's what our volunteers are doing on a daily basis. But yeah, that was an acknowledgement of that day. But I don't know whether you can appreciate it. Kind of feels to me, it does feel a bit strange, because there were plenty of people there on that day that deserved more than the highest award that the Red Cross give out for what they were doing. So, but yeah.
Well, it's great to have you back among us. I know that my colleagues down in Live 95 know you well from years gone by. David, congratulations.
And it's great to be back. I have many happy memories of my time in Cork. There was a time for a few years I was a director of the said radio station that I'm on today, and I had some very, very good times working with you guys, and I wish you all the very best of luck.
Part of wireless, of course you are. Yeah. David, look, reach out to us anytime. Anytime that the opinion line can help Critical, we will be more than delighted to do that. How does that sound like a deal?
That sounds like a great deal, PJ, and I'll say for now that you already have helped us by giving us this opportunity to speak with you today, and we thank you very much.
Very happy to do that. David Tai, thank you. 0818 96 96 96. Yeah, he used to be involved with our friends in Limerick at Live 95, and went on to the wireless group nationally, and he was in the UK for many, many years with Global. And he's back now as the boss of Critical, an incredible charity. Thank you, David. We look forward to speaking again.
Cork's 96 FM.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.